Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospel this morning, we learn from Christ a lesson that our modern world seems to have just completely abandoned. And that is that there cannot be two opposing truths standing alongside each other as if they are both true. And not only can there not be two opposing truths standing alongside each other, but also our Lord has called us to determine which one is actually true and which one is the lie to be discarded. We are never, under any circumstances, to pretend that the lie doesn't exist or that it is also true. We are instead called to flee from liars, that is, all those who teach falsely in the name of Christ. And this is because their lies will destroy your faith. This is not some new teaching that came along in Jesus' context either. Well, they didn't get it. We're better. It has always been this way, just like it will always be this way. Consider the words of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah 2,600 years ago. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, we heard him say, not from the mouth of the Lord. And then he goes on to give examples of these so-called prophets spewing forth lies, all of which lead people away from God. Our Lord simply will not have this. We see that especially in the setting of our gospel. Jesus has been teaching the multitude in a lengthy discourse, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, about how the teachers have led them astray. You have heard them say of old, "You shall not murder," but I say unto you, this is what it actually means, right? He tears down the lies of the false teachers, and he stands up the truth concerning many things, including the will of God towards marriage and the sixth commandment, which they were actually breaking and pretending to keep, the love of neighbor and the entire second table of the law about prayer, about fasting, and the list goes on and on. There cannot be two opposing truths concerning these things, and Jesus will not let the lie stand alongside the truth, and neither shall we. Our text begins with Jesus saying, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." You must first understand that a false prophet is anyone who comes to you with a teaching that deviates from the eternal truths of God's Word, which most of us understand, at least in principle. What seems shocking is how these false prophets come. They don't have horns, and they're not carrying pitchforks. The sheep's clothing are the many ways in which these false prophets make themselves equal to true prophets. Often they even have a call into the office of the holy ministry. We call them pastor. They adorn themselves with the word of God, speaking straight from the scriptures, and they usually live a godly life, at least on the surface where you can see it. Furthermore, these false prophets themselves don't think that they're seeking to ruin their hearers in a worldly way. They're friendly, and they often give sound advice that's actually helpful. All of this leads many people to listen to them, to believe what they say. But according to our Lord's saying, we must beware, because inwardly, no matter what they look like on the outside, they are ravenous wolves. This is true because not because they rob you of your house and your home and your goods and your fame and your child and your wife, but because they rob you of your eternal salvation. They kill you eternally, which is a much bigger problem. The question, when we realize that this is true, of course becomes, well, how are we supposed to know if they just look like everyone else? Jesus does not tell us that we will know because they have publicly burned their Bibles on camera or something, or because they were defrocked, or because they live ungodly lives. Of course, all of those things should be signs of a false teacher as well, don't get me wrong, but here we are concerned with those who come in sheep's clothing. How can we determine who they are? And Jesus tells us we will know them by their fruits. Now, this fruit is not to be confused with the fruit worthy of repentance that each Christian bears as he does good works in his life. Instead, this is to be understood as the bad fruit, the fruit of false teaching. In other words, we must know what God has revealed to us in His Word, and we must compare that to what the false teacher is teaching. Those who tear down the pure Word of God or stand against it are false teachers who lead their hearers to eternal destruction. Now, it has become clear to me over the years that everyone seems to already know this if they are in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or at least they say they do. I'm guessing I've offended almost no one up to this point. I might flip a switch here, because I wonder if we truly understood what Jesus is teaching here, and we firmly believe his words, then why do we find books written by Tim LaHaye, or Max Lucado, or Rick Warren, or Joyce Meyer, etc., etc., on the bookshelves and coffee tables in so many of our own homes? If we truly understood what Jesus was teaching here, and we firmly believed his words, and why are there so many who not only in the privacy of their own home, but very loudly and obnoxiously tell us how they are watching Benny Hinn and David Jeremiah on their televisions? And those are but only a few examples. Yes, I know. They all wear fancy clothing, yes, I know. They have all written books and been accepted by the world, yes, I know. Most of them even have a call into the holy ministry and are called pastors. Yes, I know that they even quote the Bible a lot. Yes, I know that they say to Jesus, Lord, Lord. Not all who say Lord, Lord will get to enter into heaven. Or even the devil himself, we are told, can disguise himself as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11. And he often quotes the Bible. Just ask Jesus, who had to defend himself against his own word when the devil spoke it to him. Just ask our first mother, who was led astray by this first false teacher, quoting the word of God. These false prophets have come in sheep's clothing, and they have won the hearts of many. But inwardly, they are, without a doubt, ravenous wolves, devouring the faith of their hearers. How do we know this? Jesus said we know this by their fruit. That is what they teach. Tim LaHaye, David Jeremiah are both of the same fold, American Baptist evangelicals. They share some of the same problems as Max Lucado, though he belongs instead to the Church of Christ. All three of them deny baptismal regeneration. All three of them deny the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. But ultimately, and far more importantly, they deny the atonement, the very doctrine by which the church stands or falls. And they do that by adding their own works to the doctrine of salvation, teaching men that they are saved by what they do. These lies are only a few examples of what they wrongly teach and say is true. And those lies destroy faith. They tear down faith in the one who made full payment for all of our sins by shedding his very own blood from his sacrificed body upon the cross. They seek to take away your faith in the one who promised to deliver that very same sacrificed body and blood into your own body at the Holy Communion right here, with all of its benefits of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Their lies lead to the destruction of faith in the truth that the same Redeemer in your baptism has washed you, has made you clean, has given you new birth as a child of God, and renewed you by the Holy Spirit. They do not want you to believe any of these things. And to save the best for last, old Joyce Meyer, who used to be a Lutheran, by the way, Missouri Synod, in fact, but left our church saying, "I'm not poor, I'm not miserable, and I'm not a sinner." You know better than that, dear Christians. You stood here just this very morning and said that you were poor, that you were miserable, that you were a sinner. And then you confessed your faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died for you because of it, that he shed his blood for you because of it, that Jesus Christ is the means of your salvation and not yourself. So what does she have to teach you, because she just told you it wasn't true? And so it is here and now that we are tearing down the lies that these false prophets try to stand up alongside the truth. And when we do that, when we look at the fruit, the teaching, we strip away the clothing, the sheep's clothing, and we reveal who they truly are: ravenous wolves. And just to get ahead of the most common objection I ever hear, which is, well, not everything they say is bad. Did Jesus not in our text say, "Every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." It is impossible. Everything that they say is tainted by their false teaching. They cannot bear good fruit. You cannot, remember this, you cannot deny the atonement and have anything to say about who Christ is and why that matters to sinners like us who need redemption. It's impossible. If you have indulged yourselves with these false prophets, repent. And when I preached on this last year, I said this and I stand by it again. Burn their books in your backyard while singing, "Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word," to make sure that no one reads them, that no one's faith would be destroyed by these ravenous wolves. And invite all of us to join you while you're at it. We'll roast hot dogs over them and rejoice together that Christ actually does love us enough, that his word is true, that his sacrifice actually was payment enough for every single one of our sins. We'll rejoice that the gifts given in word and sacrament are actually still enough for us this very day to fulfill every spiritual need that we have, contrary to what these false teachers would have you believe with their words in their books. And if you want something to replace them with, just let me know. Don't go pick up some weird magazine that says today's number one Christian book. Your pastor would love to give you something that won't destroy your soul. I promise. There's so much more to say. We could name 100 names. We could name 100 groups of people of which we are to be aware, even in our own town. But I'm not here to give you a list. And I told the Bible study this morning that I wouldn't preach for 40 minutes anymore. Instead, I am here to teach you the truth. Jesus taught his hearers that they are to be vigilant always, commanding them at the very beginning, commands, beware, keep watch, do it. In order to do it, it means you must know what the truth is. You must study your catechism and learn it by heart. You must daily be in the Word of God, not just 1 hour and 10 minutes on Sunday mornings. You must regard the chief service of the week as what it truly is, the time and place where Christ literally descends from heaven to meet us right here with his Word and his gifts. This way, when you open up some random book that whoever gave to you and you read it, you'll recognize that that prophet dressed up like a cute little sheep is actually a ravenous wolf who wants to destroy your soul. And when that happens, call us all over again for the book burning party. We'd love to come. God grant that unto you for the sake of Christ, that you would have faith in the truth that Jesus Christ died for you. If that is all you need to make payment for your sins. And let no one take it from you. No one. All for the sake of Christ. Amen.